So our topic for today is Ir Haru'il Sanhedrin. Okay? So the very end of the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Kama Yehei Be'ir V'tehei Ru'il Sanhedrin. Me'a Ve'asim Rav Nechem Yomar Masayim V'shloshim Keneged Tzari Asaros. So it sounds like everybody in the Mishnah agrees that there has to be a certain minimum population of the city to justify a Sanhedrin, for the town to be right, to be fit for a Sanhedrin. The only machlokas is how many or how large the population has to be. How are we to understand this halacha, that there's a standard which the town, the city, must meet in order to justify a Sanhedrin? So let's try to break it apart. First, we could point to just the town has to be chashuv in terms of its population, in terms of its mass. The clearest way to see this is the second day on the Mishnah, that you need Masayim Vishloshim, Keneged Sarei Ha'esrim. Okay, you need a 1 to 10 ratio between Dayanim and members of the city in order to justify Sanhedrin. Okay, so it's purely a matter of numbers or a ratio. Okay, so you need a critical mass to justify the Sanhedrin. That's one level of Chashivas. Another way of seeing the same idea is within the first day in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, that you need 120. The Gemara on Daf Yedzayinim Beis, when it fleshes out why exactly you need 120 people, we find that the town has to be self-sufficient to carry on its own trial. Okay, so for example, you need enough members in the town to justify a Bezin of Chaf Gimel. You need people in the town to justify that you'll have two Edim. You need people to justify two Balei Dinim. You need Zomimin. Right, so there's Ema on the Edim who are testifying, the threat of them becoming Edim Zomimin. Then you need enough for Zomime Zomimin, right, so that there's some threat behind the Edus of the first case, the first set of Edim Zomimin. Okay? So it's not purely an issue of population, but it's a population that's sufficient to have its own self-sufficient court case. Okay? And so from, you need so from there to write down the Tainas of each of the Baalei Dinim. Okay? So that's the first level, a certain population. A second level, which we see from the Gemara, is that it's not enough that you have a certain population, but you need significant religious institutions within the city to justify having a Sanhedrin. For example, the Gemara tells us that you need Melamde Tinokos, right? You need some sort of school system in the city. The Gemara says you need a Rofe Uman, okay, an expert doctor in town. The Gemara also says you need a Lavlar, you need a Sofer who's writing Svarim for the people in the town. Okay, so if you don't have books that are being published in the city, so we can't have a Sanhedrin. Okay. Fourthly, you see in the Gemara, they need Gaboi Tzedakah. Okay, you need to make sure that there are people giving out tzedakah in the town. And if you're missing these institutions, then you can't have a Sanhedrin. Okay? So you see, it's not just about the mass of population, it's also about what institutions the town has. If it meets that level of chashivos, then it seems like we're on the way to establishing a Sanhedrin. A third level, which we could point to, is the stature of the inhabitants of the town. Okay, so not just the population, not just the religious institutions, but what quality people live here. So here the Gemara seems to say on Yedzayinim Beis, Kol ir she'ein ba shnayim ledaber ve'echad l'shmoa, ein moshivin ba sanhedri. Okay, so the town has to have at least two people who are able to daber and one l'shmoa. You need a certain quality of, a minimum quality of people, and then you could establish a Sanhedrin. Here we have the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says that if you have a Shlishis, then it's a Chachma, right? If you have a third person who's a Deil Adaber, then it's called Chachma. What's called Chachma? What's the subject of the Chachma here? What?
Town.
Do you want to say a town? And Pashas the Bezdin. So Pashas depends on whether you read Rashi or the Yadarma first. Okay, Rashi here says it's referring to the ear. Okay, I thought we had a... Rashi says it's referring to the Sanhedrin, I'm sorry. Shlish is Chachma Sanhedrin. Sheyesh Bashlosha Medabrim. Okay, Sanhedrin is called Chachma if it has three Medabrim. The Yadarma says it's referring to the ear. Put your ears Lashon. In case somebody here tries to make up Mekoros that go against what we say. The Yad Ramah here writes Esim v'shlosha k'neged Sanhedrin k'tana. Oh, sorry, not that one. Shlishis chachma ir sheyesh b'shlosha ledaber chachama hi. A city that has three people, that city is considered a wise city. Okay. So first, I thought we had a great raya for the Shita Yad Rama, because Chachama is Nekeva, and Ir is Nekeva. What? Yeah, well, Bezin is Zichar Zachar. So, Alti Chacham Harbe. But Sanhedrin is Nekeva. Okay, so it's not really a raya one with the other. But either way, well?
You're referring to the noun. Like, who possesses Chacham? Not that it's an adjective of what is Chacham.
I know, but the Rish. And you could have a he afterwards? Chachma he?
Chachma he.
Chachma he.
What's
the subject?
What?
This is the epitome of Chachma. The epitome of Chachma is a town that has two people who are Medaber. You know, like when you walk into like the Library of Congress, they have like statues of like science and of math and of history. So your statue of Chachma is like two people who know how to talk. That's the epitome of Chachma.
Is that a way of responding to his point? Or?
That was my way of shooting down his point. Okay, so we have Machlokas, of course. So according to the Yad Rama, again, so in Ir Haru'uya L'Sanhedrin, the Ir has to be defined as an Ir of Chachma. And the town has to have that stature, and then that justifies having a Sanhedrin placed in it. Okay, that's against the way Rashi's learning that Sanhedrin here is a property of that Chachma is a property of the Sanhedrin. Now, it seems even further from this Gemara. Okay, not only that the town has to have these people to justify having a Sanhedrin, but more importantly, that we're selecting the Sanhedrin from members of the town. I think this is the most important chiddush here. Anybody else read the Gemara that way? Meaning, if you just read the Mishnah at that Bezim et Aleph, it sounds that Bezim of Shim Ve'echad and Lishkas HaGazit has the chiyut to Mimana Shoftim B'chol Yir V'Yir. So they take the best graduates of yeshivas and they send them out to every city in Eretz Yisrael. When you read the Gemara in Dafid Zayin Beis, it sounds that the reason why you only justify Sanhedrin in Yir if it has Shnayim L'daber is precisely because the members of the Sanhedrin of that town have to be members of that town. Okay. I think it's mukhrach from this Gemara. Okay, we're only appointing dayanim for a certain city if those dayanim are members or citizens of that city. Yeah.
The same true of Gemara. It enumerates the 120. When they were enumerating the 120, doesn't it also include among the 120 or whatever the Sanhedrin?
Oh, so maybe it's not clear, but yeah, that would be another raya. I mean, if you want to read the Gemara that way,
right.
It sounds like, well, unless you want to say that's a theoretical construct. How many people does this town have to have? Blah, blah, blah. But we're importing a Sanhedrin from elsewhere. You could read it that way. Just like you don't mamish need zomei zomen in every case, just as we brought Yilakach. Okay. So this, you might say, is a shear in the town itself. A shear in the chashivas of the town is that its members are of a stature that they could form their own Sanhedrin. Okay. How do we define Shnayim L'daber V'Echad L'Shmoa? So here we have a four-way machlokes in the Rishonim. Rashi says Shnayim L'daber B'Shivim Lashon and Echad L'Havin. Okay, so it's about how many languages they know. The second shita is the Yad Rama B'Shem Rav Shiragon, that you need read the Lashon Pir Shabenu Shiragon Shnayim Sheyodim L'daber B'Talmud Torah Shebrura Lahen Mishnasan Ubar Lahen Talmudan. Okay, so they're Talmid Chachamim, they know their Mishnayis, they know their Gemara clearly. V'ein toin bedvar mishnah, af hein ru'uyin l'shikla das. Okay, so not only do they have good ideas, they also have some shikla das, or they're roi l'shikla das, or they're capable of shikla das. V'yesh b'hen k'dei l'daber b'iske halachos, and v'echad l'shmoa, and this third guy, even though he doesn't know the halachos themselves, he has the capacity to discern between the arguments of the other two dayanim. Okay? Af alpi she'ein yodei l'daber, v'ein mishna yosef s'duros lo, Okay, so he himself is not a barhachi, but he could discern between the other two dayanim. This is the position of the Yad Rama. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha He, okay, seems to disagree. In Shir, we explain the disagreement as follows. According to the Yad Rama, the two who are Yodei L'daber could learn with the help of a Shulchan Aruch and with the help of maybe an English translation of the Gemara. Mishnah Yosef Siduros Lahen. That's how we explain the position of Rav Shiragon and Shir. The Rambam holds that they have to be chachamim gedolim. Okay, the Rambam holds that they have to be mamish muflayim b'chachma. Okay, so Rambam is a higher threshold. Okay, I think we said that the Rambam's a maximalist and the Rav Shira Gaon is a minimalist in terms of what they have to know. Okay? So this could be one difference in the Yad Ramah and the Rambam. It seems that there's a more fundamental difference as well. The Rambam in Aleph Hay, anybody have the Lashon? I meant to bring my Rambam. Okay, so first remember, the Rambam holds that you need one Ledabra and one Lishmoa, because maybe you have a different Girsa. So the Rambam already said that both of them have to be Chacham and Gedolim. Right? That's very different from the Yad Ramah B'Shem Rav Shira Gaon. Rav Shira Gaon is held that the Medabrim are Chachamim, and the Shomea is already not. The Rambam holds that both the Medabra and the Shomea have to be Chacham and Gedolim. Okay. Okay, so how do we characterize this Rambam? What's the Rambam's distinction between Medabra and Shomea? It can't be in terms of the level of knowledge, because Rambam says they're both Chacham and Gedolim.
One's creed and ability.
So it sounds like the Rambam is saying one of them is Roy Lohar's Kol Tarakula. Right, he walks around and he has a psak ready for every case. Right, he's like he's a very aggressive posek. The other one, he's Yodei Lahakshos Sulahashiv. He says, wait, not so fast, because I have a question here from this sugya, and he's more of a moderating force. Right, so it sounds like for the Rambam, the distinction between the Medaber and the Shomea is not so much about the level of their scholarship, but it's about the temperament. One of them is ready to paskin, and the other one is ready dialectically to oppose the psak.
What?
Okay, so one of them is ready, he's capable of paskining and everything. What's the other one?
Not capable of paskining.
He doesn't say that. How does he characterize the second one? Could we have somebody who was in yeshiva in the last week read the Rambam? I'm just kidding, Isaac. Okay, you could read it. How does he characterize the second Shomea? Right, he's Yodei Lishol. Sometimes you have somebody who's Yodei Lahoros, but he's not Yodei Lishol.
Where does he say that he's Yodei Lahoros?
Well, he says they're both Chachamim. Doesn't he say they're both Chachamim and Mufla'im?
How do you get from Chachamim Gedolim to being Roy Lahoros?
Yeah, they're both extremely intelligent.
You'd be extremely intelligent.
So extremely one of them is Roy Lahoros, and one of them is Yodei Lahakshos.
Why do we prefer
all your Columbia friends are Roy Lahoros to Paul
Karakula?
I think we have to start recording this.
Yeah, Isaac, what's going on here? So no one's on board for this reading of the Rambam? Yakir, you're on board?
I'm on board.
Right, so,
why would we say it's better if all three of them are Roy Ledaber? It's just a question of temperament.
It's worse if all three are Roy Ledaber.
If all three are Roy Ledaber, it's called Chachma.
For the Rambam, did you say that?
I think so.
I don't have the Lashon of the Hemshech. Unless you want to say that if all three are Roy Ledaber, then immediately you have someone who's Maksha. That's the. I was just struck by the fact that the Rambam's characterization is not about a distinction in the level of Chachma. It's just a distinction in whether one's ready to paskin, one's ready to Lahakshos. Yodea sounds like somebody who has an answer to everything.
I'm saying, yeah, but you use Yodea to define both of them. Yodea sounds like their ability, not their decision on which way to go.
Ah. So what do you want? How do you want to interpret the Rambam?
Where you said initiator.
That one is less capable.
Yeah, based on the word Yodea. The word Yodea, I think, wouldn't be
that. Well, Yodea means that he has a talent for... One is a talent for Roy Lahoros, one is a talent for Lahakshos.
Are you saying that he's...
Right, it means that he has a particular chachma in asking questions. What's that, Yakir?
I'm confused as to why conscious decision is being shoved in here. I guess I'm just furthering what you were saying.
Okay. Seder. Okay, so we can think about this. We don't have to decide right now. Kanir, there are a lot of people here who are Yodei Lahakshos.
Yeah.
So. We need a final verdict.
Final verdict charge.
Yeah. Okay. So I would just suggest that for this Rambam, there's not only a difference between the Rambam and the Yad Ramah in terms of how we said in Shir that for the Rambam you need a greater level of scholarship for the Medaber, but that for the Rambam, there's a dialectical process in how the Psak is emerging. Fundamentally, you need one Ledaber and one Lahakshos, whereas for the Yad Ramah, it's simply a Shaila of scholarship, not about the process of dialectic. A fourth Shita in the Gemara is raised by a conjunction of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran. Rabbeinu Yonah poses the question against the Shitas the Rambam, how could you say, and against Rav Shiragon also, how could it be a Shir in Chachma? We know that all of the members of the Sanhedrin have to be Roy Lahoros. So what the Ran suggests is that the Rambam wasn't referring to the Dayanim themselves. Avada the Dayanim have to be Yodea Lahoros B'chol Tarakula. Instead, he's referring to the members of the Shuros. Remember, the Gemara says that you need a Bezim Shel Chaf Gimel, and you have three Shuros of Chaf Gimel sitting in front of them. Right? The Dayanim in training. Okay? The lawyers. So the Rambam's Chiddush is that you have to have at least two of those people of the Shuros Roy Lahoros. He's not even referring B'chlal to the members of the Sanhedrin. That we could take for granted. Okay, so we have four Shitas in the Gemara. Again, Rashi it says the din of Shivim Lashonos, Yad Ramah b'shem Rav Shiragon, that it's a din echad ledaber in Talmud Torah, an echad who doesn't know how to learn but he could discern. The Rambam and Aleph Hey, either you'll say like Rav Shiragon, but more of a maximalist interpretation of Chachma, or the way I was suggesting just now. And a fourth Shita, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran's interpretation of the Rambam. Right?
You brought the Gilyon
and
the Ramah.
What?
You brought also the Gilyon and the Ramah.
Yeah, we brought the Gilyon and the Ramah as an explanation to explain why you need two people at Daber B'shitas Rashi. Yeah. Right, why it should be Talia Lashonos, so each one to cross-examine.
Oh, you think you're explaining B'shitas Rashi?
Gilyon? It sounded like it, no?
The
Gilyon comes right after he quotes B'shitas Rashi.
What?
Oh, it comes before Shita. It comes before Shita's Rashi. It sounds like it's going on the Yodei Ledaber for Rav Shiragon. You're right. It comes right after Rav Shiragon. So you want to say it's that they have to be a Chachma Satorah to interrogate each of the witnesses?
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
You can know what kind of questions to ask. It's important.
Okay. You could explain it that way. It's a little peculiar that cross-examination of the witnesses is totally on Chachma B'Chachma Satorah. Right, especially when the questions are prescribed. Beza Shah, Beza Zman, Beza Makom, Beza Maisa.
Well, for the Vedikos.
Yeah, even for the Vedikos, they're pretty much prescribed. You could be Marich as much as you want, but I just find it peculiar that it should be totally on the level of Talmud Torah to discern out a cross-examination. But it's not clear. It's not clear in the Yad Ramah himself whether...
Maybe it's not
right, but then you're saying that the Saga is not going on the Shita of Shiragon.
Yeah, I don't know how the Gilyon works. I don't know if he's directly dealing with the Ramah every time he talks.
Right.
He just has his own Shita.
Okay, so we could add a fifth Shita of Shnayim Ledaber Vecha Leshmoa, is that you need one Dayan to cross-examine one aid, another Dayan to cross-examine the other aid, and a third Dayan to hear the both of those cross-examinations. So we have it as a fifth Shita. A fourth feature of this Ir Ha'u'ilah Sanhedrin, which we should examine. So again, we saw three features already. We saw it has to have a significant population, it has to have significant institutions, it has to have a certain stature of inhabitants. And now the fourth aspect of this Ir, which admittedly is a little distinct from the characterization of the first three, is that there seems to be a certain sense where the Ir has to be autonomous in order to judge, in order to have its own Sanhedrin. Okay, just for example, the very notion of requiring Chaf Gimel Dayanim plus three Shuros of Chaf Gimel is the fact that, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if members of the Sanhedrin of Chaf Gimel die, so then you're going to promote somebody from the Shuros, the three Shuros in front of the Beis Din. Okay? So it's not just that this ear is right to have its own Sanhedrin, but it's right to have a Sanhedrin, and that if any of these members of the Sanhedrin die or are disqualified, they can be mimane more from within their own town. Okay, so there has to be a sense of continuity within, there has to be right for continuity within this own, within this very city.
Why can't you say that within the second chat about justifying Sanhedrin?
About what?
Like having the Is that not like fundamental part of the case that just like you need to have zomim and you need to have people who are ready to fill in for the?
Because this doesn't seem to be a shaila in each particular case. I guess you could say you have a Sanhedrin, and if one of the dayanim dies, then you import a dayan from somewhere else. Whereas here we're saying that there has to be a notion of succession with dore doros, that once your first dayan dies, you promote somebody from the shura, then you bring somebody from the outside
also
to the shura.
So the fifth paragraph, Hayibodhi talks about having the Talmidim, you know, they can join the Sanhedrin, but they can be Haina, so it seems like they have to be there for another case anyway.
Yeah, so Rashi, so these are two interpretations of why you need the Gimel Shuros. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Shema Yamusu HaChav Gimel, right, one of the Sanhedrin members may die, you need to promote somebody. Rashi on the Gemara, in conjunction with what Rashi says later on in Hayibodkin, is that if there's a suffix or there's a stalemate within the Bezen Shel Chav Gimel, so then you're going to be Mosif Dayanim from within the town to break the deadlock. Okay?
You could also argue that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if they're focusing on the role of continuity within Beit Din, you could also argue that the point of having Dayanim replace each other is that then as a function, the Shurot are acting as like a training ground for future Dayanim.
Yeah, that seems very clear. It seems very clear.
Then has to have this training ground.
Yeah, that's what I mean by continuity, is that each town is producing its own system of succession. Okay, if you want to put it in more like contemporary terms, you might say each town has to have its own law school. Okay, now you're right, that Adam's right that you could interpret this simply as being roi for each case of adjudication. That's what I meant, that these a little this fourth category is a little separate. To me, it strikes me more of a sense of continuity and autonomy, Lidoros. Related to this last point, and here I go out a little further on a limb. Yeah.
Just before that, back to the Rambam about the Chantong Vidolin.
Yeah.
And the Lishmoa. So the Rambam in Halakha Vav says if you Hayubarva and you're done with Daver, Hari is an Edre Chachma. So based on your read, why would it be contingent on them being the Daver? Would it also be Lishmoa? It's the same. If being Lishmoa is the same as the Daver, just they're having different functions, and the Rambam might be able to just say,
So I think what I would answer is that if you have two people who are Yodea Lahoros, the Chlam Masayim Mana is you have somebody who's Yodea Lahakshos. Just by virtue of the fact that you have two people who are always ready with a psak in the same room, Mimela they'll be cross examining each other's psak. That's how I would answer. And if you have two very opinionated people, right, even if they're both very assertive, so their assertions will come at crossing into a crossfire. That's the suggestion. Okay, but I don't know. That's what I'd speculate.
You just need two medabrim.
Right, two medabrim would have b'chal masayim mana, echad ledaber and echad lahakshos. That's the... Or to put my answer differently, I would say that you're right. In de facto, you'd have shnayim ledaber, but conceptually, what's important about those shnayim ledaber is that echad is yodei lahakshos, the second guy.
Okay. But the Rambam doesn't have his way to say that you have to need the ledaber. Why wouldn't the Lishmoa be enough?
In order to be Sanhedrin chachma, because if you have a chal masayim manas, then it's a stronger bezdin. It's a stronger bezin if they're going to be maksha mikoach, if they have an opinionated psak, than just being maksha mikoach ignorance.
But then you're being moda that there's a difference in their level of knowledge.
I'm not. I'm saying the dialectic is stronger if you have two people who are aggressively asserting a position than if you have one person who's cross-examining and one person who's paskening. Yeah, I'd have to look more into it, but regalachas, that's what I would say. So, look, even if I would back up a little bit, I would say that certainly the emphasis in the Rambam seems to be about that tension in the psak rather than simply two people having a certain caliber of wisdom. Okay, and I think that's the raya from how the Rambam prefaced it, shnayim who are gedolim b'chachma. So here I go out a little bit on a limb. More so than I've gone out until now. Is there a certain sense where we can say that the Bezdin Shel Kol Ir has a certain level of legislative authority over that town? Okay, lamashal, the Ramban was mechadesh, unlike Tosfos, that the Bezdin Shel Shevet has quasi Bezdin Hagadol rule over their Shevet. Right, they have right to make Talkanos, to Makan Vonchin Shalman Adin. As they have Bezdin Shel Shevet Biachad rights over their Shevet. Once we build up this notion of Ir Haru'ir L'Sanhedrin, right, there's a sense of autonomy and stature to each town. So is there a sense where we might say that the Bezdin Shel Kol Ir has that kind of authority over their town? Not just that, oh, we're here to judge Dinei Nefashos cases. Okay, the only reason why I would suggest this, okay, is because the Meiri on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, when the Gemara suggested,
what?
That they would have a koach to make takanos and gzeros shalom and adin for their city, just like the Sanhedrin Shel Shevet was able to do for the entire Shevet. So here we're treating the city as the basic atoms rather than the shvatim. Okay. And I'm just saying, once we build up the notion that there has to be a chashivos or prestige to the city itself, that's maybe there's an entity of a city just like there's an entity of a shevet. In which case, the bezin of that city will have similar powers to what the Ramban was suggesting for the bezin shel shevet. Now, the reason why I suggest this is not stam lahagdil Torah ladira. But the Meiri here on Daf Yud Zayin, when the Gemara said that in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, Bein a Sanhedrin shel ayin ve'echad, Bein a Sanhedrin shel chav gimel, the Gemara says yes. Somebody has to be asked to yodei l'taras asheretz mikav v'chomer. Had somebody who could give a svar to mitaras asheretz. So the Meiri writes, and the Meiri says explicitly, know that this applies to every Sanhedrin shel chav gimel, not just to the Sanhedrin shel shem v'echad. V'yirli, the pirish davar zeh, she'im yiru takalos yotzos bedorosei and be'ezed din Torah. Yetzu lechadesh dinim, ulehosif v'legroa lehorasha, v'litein smach ledivrei min haTorah. They find that there are pritos or certain things that need to be fixed in every generation. So if a bezin yodei l'taras asheretz, they could give justification for whatever psak they have to give for their door. Uvedome lezeh kasu agaonim b'dinei haTalmud sheyesh b'yad rabbanim agaonim lechadesh gzeros v'takanos derech klal derech prat lehosir eiza inyan mechur lefi ma sheyer bezmano b'smach muat. Okay. So you could read on in the Meiri there in Daf Yud Zayin, he says some interesting thing. And this is something that he says not just the Sanhedrin of Shem V'Yachar, it's the Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel. Okay, so it seems to me this is like what the Ramban is suggesting for the Bezin Shel Sheva. And this would build up the notion that every year is quasi-autonomous with its Bezin ruling over it. Yeah.
Let's say you had two Sanhedrios in a town.
So you'd only have that by a town that has two Shvatim.
Oh, that's only...
Pretty sure. Yeah. That's why you need the chiddush of an ear that has two shvatim as two, and that's
that,
I think.
No, I thought the din was that meaning they're chayav to have two. Else the mitzvah. I didn't realize it couldn't have two. Mm. It wasn't the case that you had two shvatim.
But pashup shaz, they only have one bezdin shel kol ear. That's how I understood it. This is a very good question. It's a very good question. For some reason, I'm under that assumption, but I can't answer regal achas. I'll have to look back where it came from. What?
You have half cases with more than one beacon. You have a lot of cases with more than one beacon.
Within a single ear. A bezin, one, more than one bezin of Chav Gimel in a single ear.
Yeah, what about a case of Otis Kodu? Right, the whole city there.
That's not Chav Gimel. That's anybody who's paskening.
Okay, but that's still a basin. Presumably it's also referring to basin in general.
Well, bezin Shel Gimel you could have as many as you want. This would be a din of Chav Gimel. For some reason I think that in the sugya of bezin Chol Shevet I saw that you need Xeris Akasta to tell you a chiddush that you could have two Bate Dinim. But I'm not sure where it's coming from. Okay. So here we move on to a parallel discussion. So our first topic which we discussed was this notion of Ir Haru'ir L'Sanhedrin. We spoke about the population, the institutions, the chashivas of the inhabitants, maybe a certain sense of continuity and autonomy for each ir. So now we move to the inverse relationship, which is not the chashivas of the ear that justifies a Sanhedrin, but the impact that a Sanhedrin has on the ear. Okay, that an ear, shigeshba Sanhedrin, an actual Sanhedrin implemented in the town, transforms the city with respect to certain halachos. So here in Shir we gave two examples. The first is the Rambam's shita on Tkiya Shofar b'Shabbes shelo b'zman ha-mikdash. The Rambam in Shofar, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, that in order to blow shofar on Shabbos, you need to be an ear with a bezin kavua. That's roi lekadish at hachodesh. It is against the sheet of the Rif. The Rif held that all you need is a bezin shel shlosha. But the Ram seems to hold that you need a chashuv bezin in order to justify tkiyah shofar b'Shabbos. So this is clearly not taluy on dinei nefashos, nor is it taluy on any individual psak. So we suggested that maybe there's an added level of chashivos, at least in terms of the town, the perception of the town's Torah mitzvos, how they're going to keep them. So if you have a Sanhedrin in the town, so then we're not worried about somebody carrying a shofar outside on Shabbos. Just the mere presence of the bezin in the city. Okay. Here we pointed to a Rambam in Tainis in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, maybe just as an analogy to say that on a Yom Tzom that the bezin would commune the entire city, and they would be bodek everyone's maisim, and they would be takin kol meuvas. So there's a very strong sense in which the Bezdin is keeping tabs over the town. Problem is that I'm not sure if that Rambam and Tainus is referring dafka to Bezdin Shel Chaf Gimel. But either way, as an analogy to what the Bezdin in the town could be doing, that's the analogy that we get. A second example which we gave in Shir is from the Dinim of Egla Rufa, the Mishnah in Sota Paraktes Mishnah Beis. Says Ein Mod Din Elam Yir Sheyesh Basan Hedrin. If you find an Egla Rufa, we only measure from a place that has a town or city that has its Sanhedrin. It's not clear what the basis for that halacha is. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Chav Gimel Amid Beis seems to assume that this is because you have a chazaka that the murderer came from the closest town. Okay, the Gemara spells this out, and when it wants to use this din as a raya for Rov Ikarov. And we go Basar Karov because we assume that the murderer came from there, even though there's a town with a greater population nearby. Okay, so you see Holchanachar HaKarov. Tosas there asks, if the halacha is because that Misham Yatza HaHoreg, then why in the world are we modate to the Nir Sheyesh Basanhedrin? There's no chazaka that the murderer came from a town with a Sanhedrin. And if there was, it would run contrary to what we were suggesting about the influence of Sanhedrin. So here I'm not sure what our answer in Shir was 100%. Maybe somebody had a clear understanding of what we suggested. But roughly the point was that maybe we only are machshiv cities that have a Sanhedrin. So an ir she'ein ba Sanhedrin is mamish kaman delesa on the radar of towns. Okay, so it's not tofes halachically. Okay. So in Mela, we're only going to be modded to the Yir Sheyesh Basanhedrin.
I think in Shir, you were trying to say that the Din of Egla Rufa is one that's dependent on like the responsibility of the city. And that's like, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu keeps quoting like the Din of Egla Rufa is a
problem. Yeah.
So you're saying that a city that can be held responsible is only one that has the best.
Okay, but that's already that's already shifting from this svar that Misham Yatza Ahoreg.
Right, so we're saying, right, so you have to add the assumption that the Bezdin, the city with the Bezdin is responsible for the city. That's the only
town that could be held responsible,
right,
is if it has a Sanhedrin. So now we're dropping that consideration of the Gemara in Bava Basra. It's not about Chazaka Misham Yatzar HaRig. But maybe you'll say an ear that has Sanhedrin, that's responsible for the whole area around it. Okay, very good. That sounds very good.
We are still saying that in the Chazaka, just in the face of only one city that has a Bezdin, then we'll ignore the Chazaka. But if we have two cities that have a Bezdin, we will need to follow the Chazaka still.
Okay.
The question is just...
I would just say, maybe, Shuk, to push back on what your suggestion, is that here we brought this as a riot to say that there's more chashivas to a town that has Sanhedrin. You're just saying that, Lemaisa, we have nobody to hold accountable, because you need Zakenim to be accountable for it. So, of course, the only one you could hold accountable is the Bezdin, so find the closest Bezdin.
No,
that doesn't say anything about the impact on the town.
We're saying that we can't, I mean, Dine Egla Rufa, we can only hold the town accountable for what happened.
And these other towns are Mamish Shogigan.
Like,
if you don't have a Sanhedrin, a murderer walks out of your gates, it's Mamish like Anus.
Can't hold people accountable.
It's
a
big Kiddush.
There's
nobody. It's a big Kiddush, but we don't.
It's
a big Kiddush. The Be'er Sheva on that Gemara there, which we quoted part of it in Shir, the Be'er Sheva that is mistopic, that maybe the closest town pays for the Egla Rufa, and just the closest Sanhedrin brings the Egla Rufa. that would run contrary to what you're suggesting. We're saying that there's a certain level of achrayus on the closest town, regardless of whether it has a bezin. That's what they pay for it, and then the closest town with Sanhedrin brings it.
Okay.
But you're saying stronger than that. You're saying that the only people who can have responsibility is a town that's living in the in the shadow of the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair shot. I still think that the guys that want to bring
yeah.
the
right.
So it kind of matches both ideas because it holds the town accountable at the same time.
But your whole vote is that the town can't be held accountable.
No, I understand. But I mean, the other part of the vote is that specifically the town with the best is accountable. Mr. Bereshiva's motive from the fact that the best brings.
Ah. I'm not sure. When I read the Bereshiva, I didn't get the impression that he thought the Bezdin is accountable. It's on the Daf, on Memches, in Sota. It's not that he held that the Bezdin is accountable, that's Gzeres HaKosov, that the Zakenim have to bring it. So nothing could override the Gzeres HaKosov. He says, the Gzeres HaKosov of Amru HaZakenim overrides Din Daraisa of Rover Karo. That's how he has it.
I was going to say that it's not necessarily that we're exempting the towns that don't have a Bezdin. It's that it would only make sense, I guess this is very similar to what you were saying, if not the same. That would only make sense to say the line of Yadenu Loshavpu in a town that had Bezdin, because otherwise it's a Kluva Klula, as we were saying in Shir. That you can't blame anyone else and expect anyone to have any influence on anyone if there's no Zakenim. The Zakenim are the people that have influence.
But once
and
you say that, then you're saying that you're exempting the same, and you can't blame them.
You can't expect anyone to take responsibility for it in the same way that Zakenim can.
I think it's a great illustration about two people who are Yodea Lahoros are also Yodea Lahakshos on each other.
My Yodea Lahoros.
Okay. I'm definitely not Yodea.
that's
I barely even understood the analogy.
That's all we mean, though. When we say exempt, we don't mean that, like, they're not chayv fatzich. We just mean that you can't hold an account.
Okay. Yeah.
Why does what she was saying, why does that contradict the idea of having the Chazaka? You could say the Chazaka is they came, meaning you're Sanhedrin is responsible for like the cities around the city that has the Sanhedrin. So the Chazaka is that it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, if you want to say that Sanhedrin is responsible for all its environs, then you could say it's consistent with Tosos. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so for here we move. So that's the inverse relation. Those are two examples where the existence of a Sanhedrin in the town seems to raise the prestige of the chashivas halachically of the town itself. From here we move to a third closely related topic, and that is just the stature of the Dayanim themselves. It stands to reason that if part of the Din of the Sanhedrin is not just to paskin shilos of Dinei Nefashos, but maybe part of the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim is to raise the caliber of the town, then it makes sense that there should be Dinim associated with the Sanhedrin that are not immediately there to facilitate some sort of psak. It's the presence of these individuals within the city. So here the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin Beis has just a very interesting halacha that the Dayanim have to be Bale Koma Ubale Mare. They have to be tall, they have to be handsome. So Rashi there says that's because Shetehei Emasan Muteles Alabrios. Okay, it's that people should have a certain respect for the Dayanim. Okay, I guess you could read this narrowly and say it's that the litigant should be afraid. But I guess if you think this is the halacha, that should impact the entire town, since the entire town is in awe of the Dayanim. The Gemara also has this idea, and it's quoted in the Rambam in Perek Beis of the Sanhedrin, that they should be miyuchasim, right? They should be of the best yichus. They should be nikiyim mimumim. They shouldn't have any physical blemishes. Rambam said they should be muflagim b'chachma, of extraordinary wisdom. They should speak shivim lashonos. So here also, again, you could explain Shivim Lashonos as a din in simply that they could hear directly from the Edim. The Rav, for example, says, and it's Medirik and Rashi, that it's not pshat that they have to speak all 70 languages. Take the Rav's case, the Rav says, no, they just have to speak whatever languages are spoken in their town of the Shivim Lashonos. Okay, so if you live in Montreal, you have to speak French and English. Okay? So it's really just a din that they could paskin, they could hear the testimony. But if you hold that there's a value of commanding respect for these Dayanim, then you might say that commanding Shivim Lashonos is one element in creating these Dayanim of stature. Same thing for the Rambam's requirement that they should be muflagim b'chachmas harafua, Rambam says, the Kesef Mishnah says it's that in order that they could paskin dinim of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Right, so it's a way to help them paskin. But again, if you want to argue that there's a mila per se of stature, then you'll say that they're having knowledge of other chachmos distinct from what they have to paskin is part of creating this this bali komro bali mara.
Why would it be that the refuah?
It's not. The Rambam has everything. The Rambam has refuah. The Rambam has bali kshafim. The Rambam has chachmas ad stagnios. In the debates over the Rambam and Sefer Mada, and Lidoros about studying other chachmos, a lot of people invoke this Rambam about the standards for the Dayanim as a raya about like the virtue of studying these other chachmos. If it was just a shaila or just something that was needed to paskin for their cases that come before them, the chora can never be a raya for generations of what's useful to study. Right. Yeah, well, it's other people, the Gra, I think, quotes this Rambam, and fine. So this is just a third category, which seems to bear on the first two. If you think the role of the Sanhedrin is to elevate the caliber of the towns, that the town is in respect and awe of these people, then it makes a lot of sense that you have these other halachos associated with them. Bali Koma, Bali Mara, and Muflagim Bishar Chachmos, Shivim Lushonos as well. Okay. From here, we'll close with one final topic. Is our fourth topic, and that is just the distinction between Kabbalas Eidos and the rest of the adjudication. Okay. The Ramban al Torah, which we saw earlier in the year, quotes the position of Rav Sajagon that even though Dinei Nefashos needs a bezin of Chaf Gimel for the Psak, nonetheless you only need three Dayanim to hear the testimony of the witnesses. Okay. The Ran in our Sugya and Daf Yud Zayin quotes Rashi as holding this as well. Right, from the fact that you need Shnayim L'daber V'echad L'shmo and Shivim L'shonos means that you only need three of the Dayanim to hear the testimony directly from the witnesses. Rabbeinu Yonah explains this Shita, Derech Masa Matan, he says, that maybe the problem of hearing testimony secondhand is a problem of Eid Mipi'ed, to hear testimony of one witness from another witness. If a Bezdin hears the testimony, it's no longer Eid Mipi'ed. It's Dayanim Mipi'ed. Okay, so to reword this Rabbeinu Yonah, it sounds that there's no din that the Bezdin has to hear the testimony directly. There's no din at all, Chav Gimel Dayanim have to hear the testimony. You just have to obviate the problem of Eid Mipi'ed. So if you have a Bezdin hearing Mipi'ed, then that's sufficient. Okay. The Ramban al Torah and the Ran in our Sugya disagree with this approach. Okay, they all hold that you need the entire Bezin of Chaf Gimel to hear the entire testimony. Here we have a parallel issue in two other scenarios where we want to know, can we distinguish the Kabbalas Eidos from the rest of the Maso Matan? One such case is the Ramban in Ksivis Chaf Alef Mebeis. There the Ramban seems to hold that in a case where a dayan yachid or a dayan mumche is don yachidi, not only can he adjudicate on his own, but he could also be mekabel the edus on his own. Okay, so if you're don yachidi, you don't need three people for kabbalas edus. The shach and the nesivis, I forgot to write down this simon over here. You could ask me in the base medrash where the simon is. So they have a machlokas whether or not we could paskin like this ramban. Okay, the shach seems to hold that you need three people for kabbalas edus, even if you're going to rely on a dayan yachid to paskin. As we have a higher standard in this case for kabbalas eidos than the actual psak din. A second parallel is to go to the case of bezin shel chaf gimel and bezin shel ayin aleph. So here we have a case from the halacha of Irni Dachas. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perak Dalet Halacha Vav, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Yud Beis seem to hold that all you need is a bezin of Chav Gimel for the Kabbalas Eidos of Irni Dachas, despite the fact that you need a bezin shel Shivim V'Yachad to issue the Psak. Okay, so that seems to be a very nice parallel for the position of Rav Sajagon. Tosim Menachos Tamachem et Aleph is Cholek. He holds you need Ayin Aleph all the way through. Okay, so a parallel Machlokas in this other case. Is the position of the Rambam in Huchsa Avodah Zarah a good raya to the position of Rav Sajagon and the position imputed to Rashi from the Ran. So Minchas Chinuch says yes. Simin Taf Samach Dalid Simin Yud Tes and Taf Tes Simin Gimel. Minchas Chinuch thinks it's a very good Raya. It's a parallel construction. In Shir, we suggested two reasons why it wouldn't be. The first is to appeal to a Chiddush from the Rav in the Igros HaGrid. It's also published in the Shirei Sanhedrin on this Gemara. There the Rav says that the din of Yerni Dachas is really a psak about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Kabbalas Eidos is about Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which only needs a Bezim Shel Chaf Gimel. And then when you put together the testimony about the Avodah Zarah, you create a case of Yerni Dachas. Okay, so here, it's really sufficient to begin with Chaf Gimel, because it's really an Avodah Zarah case. There's a separate halacha that you could turn an Avodah Zarah case into a Yerni Dachas case. Okay, so according to this idea of the Rav, it wouldn't be a good parallel to the case of Dinei Nefashos. A second reason why you might distinguish, this is what we suggested in Shir, is not because the particulars of Yerni Dachas, but to distinguish between the particulars of transitioning from 3 to 23 versus transitioning from 23 to 71. And here we just gave a few very sharp distinctions. First example is the Shem Sanhedrin. We know the Shem Sanhedrin is Chal only on Bezen Shel Chaf Gimel and Shem V'Yechla, not on Gimel. The mitzvah of Minui, according to many Rishonim, is only on Chaf Gimel and Shem V'Yechla, not on Bezen Shel Gimel. So it's in Rabbeinu Bachi al Torah. And also the requirements of the statute of the Dayanim that we saw in the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin, that should be Yodeyat, Taras Asheret, Balei Chochma, Balei Zikna, Nikiyim Mimum, Balei Mara, Balei Koma. Those only apply to Sanhedrin Shel Chaf Gimel and Sanhedrin Shel Shem V'Yechla. That's explicit in the Meiri on the Gemara. So you might say to have a Kabbalas Eidos of Shem V'Yechla with 23 Dayanim, that's simply a difference in number, not a difference in kind. But to have a Kabbalas Eidos of Gimel for Bezem Shel Chaf Gimel, there you're dealing with two different entities altogether. Okay, so you can't just say, oh, we have the Bezem present for the Kabbalas Eidos. Okay, so those are two distinctions that we suggested. I guess stepping back, what is this machlokes about? Whether or not you could have
those two distinctions don't just reduce to one another?
The Rav and what we suggested in Shir?
Oh, no, the difference between Shem Sanhedrin and Thasher at the end.
Lav Dafka, because you might hold that you could dispense with some of these drishos b'diavad. So, but you have one of those drishos, you'd have a mitzvah of minoy, even though you wouldn't have the stature, the chatchila. But in the chatchila, there's no requirement for gimel to have that stature. Okay. So what's the machlokes about? Whether or not you could have three representing 23 or 23 representing the 71 with respect to the Kabbalah Seidus. So here we just threw out a general observation. And then maybe it depends on how you view Kabbalah Seidus. Right? Do you want to view Kabbalah Seidus simply as the Bezdin receiving information about the case, passively receiving information about the case, fact gathering, or do you want to view Kabbalah Seidus itself as part of the process of adjudication? Okay. And here we just threw out four halachos which you'll want to gauge this against. We're not going to go into them. One of them is the notion of davar velo chatzi davar. Right? How complete does the Haggadah, how self-sufficient does the Haggadah Seidus itself have to be? Second example is mipiyam velo mipiksavam. Could Bezdin accept Eidos completely passively, or the Eidim aren't even present? They're just sending in their testimony biksav. A third halacha, which you want to gauge this against, is just the very notion of drisha v'chakira. Why is it that the Bezdin has to question and cross-examine the witnesses? Simply to make it Eidos haru'uya lahazama, in which case you might say it's passive, but we have to make sure that this Eidos is refutable. Or is drisha v'chakira part of just Bezdin establishing the facts of the case? Bezdin actively has to cross-examine the witnesses in order to say that they have a chalos eidos. Okay. A fourth example that we want, the fourth halacha that we want to gauge this against is migu dechayli ahai chayli ahai. That sometimes you'll say that once eidos gets into the system, that it could stay within the system with respect to another halacha. Okay. So we want to try to articulate these different halachos to discern how passive or how involved Bezdin is in the process of Kabbalah Seidus. Yeah.
Can you
just
find that difference between fact gathering and part of the adjudication?
And part of the adjudication? I guess one of them is that when does Bezdin operate assuming a certain set of facts? or is part of Bezin's obligation to create what facts they're going to adjudicate on. Sound good? Okay. And then there's one final observation which we made in Shir, that we have to ask, when we talk about Bezdin's engagement in Kabbalas Eidos, would we extend this question to Bezdin's involvement in the Shmias Tainas Abalei Dinim? Okay, which you could see from my response to Isaac is a parallel question. And when you talk about the facts, does Bezdin just operate assuming certain facts, or is Bezdin trying to establish facts and adjudicate on them? So we have that question with respect to the Eidim. You also have to pose that question with respect to the Balei Dinim. Right, what is Bezdin's engagement with the tainas, the claims of the litigants? So, for example, we have machlokas already on this sugya and Daf Yud Zayin, when it says that Bezdin has to know shivim lashonos kadesh l'yishmim mipiyam turgamon, is that so that they shouldn't hear the witnesses through translation, like Rashi says, or is that referring to an issue that they can't hear the tainas of the Balei Dinim through translation, which is how the Rambam and other mefarshim take that gemara and Daf Yud Zayin? Okay, so a parallel question about Kabbalas Eidos with respect to Kabbalah's Tainas HaBalei Dinim. Okay, so what we discussed here today, we discussed four different questions. We discussed the question about the standards of the ear to make the city Roy for a Sanhedrin. Then we spoke about the stature change in the town once they have a Sanhedrin. We spoke very briefly just about the stature of the Dayonim and how that's related to the stature of the city which has the Bezdin. And finally, we gave a brief overview of this notion of Kabbalas Eidos and how integral it is to the actual process of adjudication in Beis Din. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem Sunday we'll have a Chazar Shir on Smicha, and then Wednesday we'll move on to Eschaivas Midas versus Knossos, and then hopefully, depending on the paradox of the tortoise and the hare, we'll catch up this year.